mountain. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. And they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew.
To his banqueting table and his banner over me is love. Amen. Thank God.
He brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. this Sunday. We'll be having a carry-in after service. Get with Sister Betsy for what we're going to be cooking. So I'm looking forward to that too. Amen. We get a double portion on Sunday. Amen. Amen. We have one testimony here from me and Sister Hannah. It says, the other day I was sweeping out of and out of nowhere the telescoping hose. It's like a river canister kind where it pulls up and down. Amen. It quit working. That night we prayed and committed it to the Lord. And the next day I was sweeping and something impressed on me to check it. And praise the Lord, it worked like nothing had ever been wrong with it. So thank God for that. Amen. He's a supernatural God. Amen. 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 How many could say with an upraised hand, Lord, I have need of you this night. Amen. Amen. Just going to ask Brother Paul if he'd come lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. Also over a testimony, over any prayer requests and tithes and the offerings.
Bow our heads, Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, we just come here today, Lord. We just thank you for all the saints that passed, came out tonight, Lord, and pressed their way forward, Lord. May we just settle our minds, settle our spirits, Lord, and just be willing to just take all you, Lord, and just take this word as is given, Lord, through Brother Cam, Lord. May we just open our minds again, Lord. Just bless everybody here, Lord, and just bless this time together, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How many know that without a shadow of a doubt? Nothing you can do. That's all what Christ has done already. Amen. Him being in you, living through you. Oh, Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells me so. Many souls have been his prey.
The love of Jesus, the love of a time, amen, when it says so high, I want to hear everybody from the top of their lungs say, so high, I can't get over it, amen. Amen. The love of Jesus. He set me free, amen. Once like a bird, I was in prisons, amen. Gee. Oh, once like a bird in prison I dwell. No freedom from my sorrows I fail. So then Jesus came and listened to me. And glory to God, He sent me. Oh, He sent me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, 10,000 reasons. How many can say without a shadow of a doubt you have 10,000 reasons why you could bless His name, and then you'd have 10,000 more, amen, for throughout eternity, amen. As our pastor would prepare himself to come, how many come looking forward to the Word, amen? Amen. Amen. And bless the Lord, O my soul. Yes.
how great is our God. Amen. How many just want to lift him up today and sing how great he is? Amen.
Amen. As our brother Cam prepares himself.
And how great is our God. Oh, sing with me how great. Sing with me.
right into the Word of God tonight. Just getting some things around. I said, boy, I'm not going to have time to preach all that tonight. So by the grace of God, it's good to see everyone made it to the house of God tonight. Amen. By His grace, it's good to be part of the elected seat of God. Amen. Grace of God, we'll just get into a little thought and we'll say a few things and just allow God to have His way. Amen. So I pray that you've come in expectation tonight. You desire to hear the Word of God, and by the grace of God, I sometimes get stuff and I just really don't know how to preach it and really don't know how to bring it out. But I'm trusting on the living Savior this evening. Amen. And it's not necessarily my gift, it's actually His gift. Amen. By the grace of God, a gift is actually not given to that individual, but it's actually given to the people whom that gift is for. Amen. So by the grace of God, we just pray that you're in good spirits this evening. Glad to be a Christian. You got a little expectation built on you. You want to hear from God. Want to hear the Word of God. I've seen it done before. God can take a sermon wherever He wants to, and He can say whatever He wants to. And we just want to be in the condition and in the ability tonight for God just to have His way. Amen? Amen. How many are believing for an Acts 2 restoration? Amen? You believe that? That's not for an hour ago. It's still for this time. It's still for this people. And by the grace of God, we believe that we are those people. Amen? When He said, I will restore in Joel 2, it's talking about us. Amen? Restore all the years that were took away. Amen? So we had our Bibles this evening. We'll go ahead and jump to the Word. I'd probably like to sing a song or so first, but maybe perhaps tonight we'll just bypass that and get right to the Word of God. We're going to go in our Bibles to Romans 11. I'd like to go to Romans 11, verse 25. Maybe a little bit different. You know me, I really preach about the bride quite a bit, and this is about the bride, but yet it's about another faction within the material. So we'll see where God will take this tonight. Romans 11, 25. After that, we're going to go to Isaiah 60, verse 2. Romans 11, 25 says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Amen? And we've come to the place that we realize that if the Bible says the word mystery, it's talking about something that a lot of people really don't understand. Amen? So notice here, Paul is bringing up a mystery involved here. It says, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits or come up with your own ideas. Amen? So let this mystery take away your ideas, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Amen. 11:26 it says, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. 27th verse, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. I love this right here. This absolutely blows my mind away. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Now, this is an absolute paradox. But as touching the election, amen, they are beloved for the Father's sake. We'll get into this in a little bit. Isaiah 60, verse 2. I love this passage right here. Notice if we could actually say this does not apply to us today. There's something wrong with our revelation. Isaiah 60, verse 2, it says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." So not just darkness on the earth, but darkness on the people. Okay? "But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Who's this speaking of? Not the Gentiles yet. Talking about the Jews. Let's continue. "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light." Now notice this. "And kings to the brightness of thy rising." So notice it's talking about the rising. The Gentiles will come to the rising. Okay? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you tonight, Lord. And as we work with this little thought this evening, God, I pray, Lord, you just bring your spirit, God. And Lord, speak through these lips, God. Speak through the hearts of the people, God. And Lord, may we be in one accord, Lord, desiring, Lord, to hear this great mystery, these great words, God, that thy book has hidden within it, God. Lord, there's so much there, God. And Lord, even as I was going through these things, God, Lord, how it just blows your mind away, O God, when you see how amazing you are, God, how great election is, God. So we're just asking tonight that, Lord, you just add some wisdom, Lord. Certainly, Lord, I want to say what I need to say, but I don't want to say what I don't need to say, God. So I pray, Lord, you just limit me to the thought that you'd like to portray, convey to your people, God. And, Lord, may that thought, O God, bring great blessings within their minds and the revelation of this word to them, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we trust that you'll have your way now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the church said together, amen. You may be seated. Amen. By the grace of God, we'd like to work with a little thought this evening, if we could. And we'd like to entitle it, if we could, "The Birthright Transfer." Just give me a second here as I get around something that's coming to my mind right now. Amen. By the grace of God, we'd just like to work with the birthright transfer this evening. And if we could really just give it a topic, maybe, perhaps as far as something that's sublime, we'd like to work with the topic of obtaining election. Amen. So by the grace of God, we'll just try to make a few sense out of this here, and we'll just say what the Lord have us say. Now, I'd like to get with a little thought this evening, if we could. I'd like to work by the grace of God with a few thoughts that we'd like to bring forth to you this evening, as we see that it was God's design that God would have two types of people within His plan. Amen. He'd bring salvation through two types of people as far as in the workings of His desire. And by the grace of God, maybe we'll see that right in the Word of God tonight if God would be gracious to us. Now notice here, if we could, I'd like to go back to the book of Romans 11 again. And we'll perhaps start here. And then we'll get right to the cut of the chase if God would allow us. Now notice, if we could, it says here in Romans 11:22, it says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but towards thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again." Amen. Now notice, he's crying out for Israel's sake, as we realize in this chapter, is actually Paul's design, that he said if he could, he would be cut off from Jesus Christ for Israel's sake if he could, right? He would literally sacrifice his own life for theirs if God would allow him. But yet we realize that there was some election and some things playing out here. But yet we see the nature of the Holy Ghost is always to try to lay down one's life for another. Amen? As it was Jesus Christ's life, right? Now remember, the Holy Ghost ain't nothing different than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost in spirit form in His people. But we realize that when Jesus Christ would lay Himself down for His people, it would be also when an individual would have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he himself also would be in the same type of nature as the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's why we can say we would look like Jesus Christ, because the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in us. Therefore, it puts a nature or the nature of Jesus Christ within us. Amen. But notice tonight we're working with Israel and as we begin this. And I want you to see that they were God's chosen people. I realize, and I believe we all realize, that within the Old Testament there's no argument that you had to be God's chosen people in the nation of Israel, right? He had a nation that He worked upon, a nation that He gave all things to. And within this desire of this people, He had what? He had an actual trail of a natural born right. Amen. As far as we realize, from Adam on to Christ, that it was literally, you find that God was working through a seed line. But in God's design and His desire, we notice time and time again that God would allow a Gentile to actually become part of God's inheritance. Even so much the fact is, when you follow the lineage of Jesus Christ, you begin to find out that there's actually Gentiles that were placed in the lineage to get to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we can see that it was God's desire that what? That not just a Jew would be saved, but it was actually God's desire that a Gentiles would come to this salvation as well. Now let's realize how important this is. We realize that the bride of the Old Testament was Israel. Amen. Just like the bride of the New Testament is what? It is the Jews / Gentiles that receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But we realize, namingly, that it was given to the Gentiles. Amen. So if you're not a Jew, that makes you a Gentile. Amen. So what would we be tonight here sitting in this room? I don't believe there's any Jews sitting here tonight. But by the grace of God, we're just sitting here as just a bunch of Gentiles. And if we were lost in our pagan ways over 2,000 years ago, we would be what? We would be on our way down to hell. Amen. But by the grace of God, God desired a move that would put the Gentiles in. Amen. And we'll be working with that a little bit tonight. And notice here, it's talking about the unbelief of Israel in Romans 11:23. It says, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again." Right? And we understand by the Old Testament, I'm sorry, I'll probably preach a little fast tonight. But if God would allow me, maybe He'll slow me down. But I'm just going to keep on running because I got a lot to say in a short amount of time. So let's see how fast I can do this. If you need a CD, you better get it. But by the grace of God, we're going to go. Amen? So notice here that it was God's desire. Notice they were part of that tree. But when God come in the Old Testament and they kept on what? Having idolatry, having wickedness. God would have to actually, according to the Scripture, give them a bill of divorcement. Amen? They were His wife, but because of their actions, God would have to what? Sever the tie of bride from them. Amen. And that's good for us. Hallelujah. And we realize it's also good for them. But by the grace of God, we see it was God's ultimate design. He wanted them. He desired them. He chose them. He was. Remember, God said in the Old Testament, He said, "Israel, I didn't choose you because you were the strongest. I didn't choose you because you were the most biggest number, the most intelligent." But He chose him by election. Amen. There was something about that seed that God had to have.
Amen. When we look at Abraham, there is something about that seed. Isaac, something about that seed. That seed would follow God no matter what opposition there was. And God could look at that faith and He would say, what? I've given you an unconditional covenant.
Amen. But we see years pass. They move into law. Israel desired law. They desired a natural king. And of course, through all these things, they fell into idolatry, fell away. And God had to, what? Give them a bill of divorcement and move them out from the actual move of God, so to say. Now, let's continue here in Romans 11:24. It says, for if thou wert cut of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were graft contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be graft into their own olive tree? Now remember, we just read how God said, He said they are cut off, but don't worry, they'll be grafted back in. Hallelujah. Now, whether you realize that or not, that's almost here, amen? Once the Gentile dispensation is over, then the gospel will move back over to the Jews, right? And according to the book of Revelations, we see that there will be 144,000 elect, and there will be 12,000 of every tribe. And God will what? He'll send Moses and Elijah according to Revelations 11. And God will have a move on the people again. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I hope to be watching that. Don't say that, brother, unless you're saying I want to watch it from the balcony of heaven. Amen. Because the bride will be in the marriage supper at that time. Amen. And there won't be many, but God will have a bride there. Amen. For the wedding of the Lamb has come. Hallelujah. And her bride, Revelation 19:7, hath made herself ready. Amen. So what are we to be doing now? Making ourselves ready. But tonight I want to work with your election. I want to show you how important you are. Because this ain't no chance you found your way up in here. Amen. You can't say, oh, looks like I got Abraham back there. Oh, hallelujah. But God, there is a seed in you that God had to put all the elements of your history together. And He would put them together and all of a sudden He'd come up with you. And the seed of God would be in that individual, right? They would accept the Word, right? That's why this is usually a family move. Because the seed line is that close. It works together in those avenues. Oh, hallelujah. We're saying, oh, I want my family to be saved. What do you think you're saying? Say they're coming out with the same thing I got. Oh, hallelujah. Now, notice this if we could. I ain't going to get very far at all tonight, am I? But we realize by the Scripture in Romans 11:25, it says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part, okay, is happened to Israel until. So notice, Paul in this time, he's saying that now there's a blindness that has fell on Israel. And that blindness would not be done away with until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The fullness of the Jews? No. The fullness of the Gentiles. So notice there was a move, even according to Paul, that was dictated to the Gentiles people. The Gentile people. Amen. And the Jews would not have their blinders taken off until all the Gentiles that had to be in that body change were around and ready to go and in that rapture. Hallelujah. So God would turn back to the Jews then, and all the Gentiles left behind would be left for judgment. Is this okay? It's all right? Okay. So notice here, there's an allotment to the Gentile people.
And we ought to be saying praise God because it's the only hope you had. Amen. Now, notice in Romans 11, 26, it says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as is written, there shall come out of Sion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Okay? So Paul's using a scripture and saying, oh, by the way, God's going to turn the ungodliness away from them. Now notice this. It says in the 27th verse, "For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins." So he's made a covenant to take away all the sins. Remember, about a month ago, we were working with the scripture how it said that, Israel had an incurable wound. Amen. Right. Amen. Now, notice this, if we could, in the 28th verse, my paradox here. It says, "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." Now, notice what this is actually saying. Paul is saying a gospel, a New Testament, has come forth. Something has changed. What the law, or what God's accepted method was, it is now what? Progressed into a gospel. And notice it says concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. You know what that means? They don't like the gospel. But notice, but as touching the election, you realize what election means. If we have an election, let's say we elect a president. Oh, Lord, where can we go from here? You elect a president. That president doesn't know he's elected. But the people, what? They cast a vote on who they want. Amen. And just like God, when He has election, He wants, He already, by omniscience, sees, knows, and everything is placed by the seat of God. Amen. He knows where the seat is. He knows where it's not. And why is that free moral? Because we don't know. But you have a choice. What do you want to be? Do you want to be a devil? Do you want to be a foolish virgin? Do you just want to be good to the brethren? Or do you want to be the bride? You choose your destiny. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you realize a man has to fight to go to hell? Oh, they just, you know, somehow they just got off the way. Don't you think in this world that they get their chance? They walk by church. They walk what? Look at how God works progressively. God just didn't wake me up in a message. God let me get sprinkled as a Catholic. Oh. After I got sprinkled, I went to the Assembly of God. I was there for a long time. Then I said, what's going on here? And then I went from church to church to church because I was looking for something. Amen. Amen. I wanted to follow the Word. Isn't that why you're sitting here? You want the Word of God. Don't you realize you got that Holy Ghost? You have to have truth. You think the Holy Ghost is going to sit there and say, oh yeah, it's okay, just follow any doctrine you want. When God has a word and it's revealed, if anything, God will do everything to get you right where you need to be. And you know what? Once you get there, you got questions. You still can't get away from it. Why? Because God is working on you. God is moving on you. And you're proving by your choices that you have that seed of God to begin with. So notice Israel. Paul said, according to the gospel,
They're your enemies. But according to election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. And we sit here and we say, God, how am I going to make it? Oh God, how am I going to become righteous? How am I going to be perfect, God? You know I want to be so perfect, and I fail so much, I'm a miserable Christian. And then we have God right here saying in His Word that He can elect a people to be completely blinded to the gospel. And they're literally the truth's enemy. But touching the Father, they are beloved. And you're sitting here, do you realize they're still not under the blood? But what? They're following the best revelation they got. So what? Election according to the book of life. Those names that are on there, they're continuing in a blinded fashion. And then when grace comes by their way, they'll rise up. Wasn't that what God did with you? He brought you the Word. And you looked at the Word. You were against the Word. I was against the Word. But there was a season where what? Where election brought forth of her children. And a son of God was born. And a daughter of God was born. By revelation they come to the knowledge of what the Word was. So you realize, I mean, do you really see this? I wish I could just slap it in my head and I could get it as much as I preach. I'm saying it is. But here we have Jesus Christ by faith put what? The sacrifice of blood on our lives. And we're saying, God, how are you going to do it? And God tells in the Bible about a people who killed him. And then even when he come back as a spirit inside of his people, killed him. What do you think Paul was doing? Oh, hallelujah. But God gave him a revelation. He come with the pillar of fire. Amen. He come with the pillar of fire and knocked him off the horse. He said, Saul, Saul, why kick against the pricks? Right? He told Saul, he said, you're persecuting me. How was he persecuting Jesus? Because Jesus was right there inside of his bride. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you don't see that you're sitting there and you're the righteousness of God because the Holy Ghost has filled you. Hallelujah. Oh, how it'll make you. It'll make you want more God. It'll make you cry out for more God. We should love God so much that He's our first thought, our last thought, our middle thought. Think about this. In 1 Corinthians 7, this Paul said, he said, I would that the married be as though they weren't. Oh, what kind of doctrine are you trying to preach? Well, don't turn on Discovery Channel because you're going to find some crazy stuff up on there. But do you really see what it is? When the Word come to Peter, when the Word come to Andrew, the Scripture says they just dropped their nets, forsook everything they had, and just went on with Christ. Do you see that? Because what you're really looking at is you're looking at a God not trying to destroy your marriage. That's the problem. We have this counseling method of what the perfect marriage should be like.
Well, I got to spend this so much time and that so much time, and my kids got to get this much time. And then when you look at every move of God through revival, and there's no time for nobody else but God. Focus on the family. Yeah, that's right. Focus on the family of God. Uh-oh, I better back up on this one. But don't you realize, if you want to do something for God, everything else has to take a back seat. Read the memoirs of Charles Finney. Read them of all these men back here. You want to do something for God, you got to get on God's side. You got to let God know that God's number one. You realize, church, that you look at Moses. What did God do in Moses? He took him away from everything and sent him down to Egypt. He didn't even have time to circumcise his own children. And God was going to kill him for it. But his wife stood in the gap. His Gentile wife stood in the gap. This seed will live. Now notice, and I don't know if I'm even going to be able to go this direction, if I'll even be able to now. But I want us to see a few things here, if we could. Let's try to move in a path here, if I can. Because I'm way off the beaten path of where I was going to go. But I want you to see it, church, that God has a chosen avenue. Okay? Now, remember what God is doing here. Let's go this way. In Genesis 13, 15, we see that God, out of Eden, He anoints the seed to move on naturally. We see after it goes through the flood, God anoints the seed naturally. And God is moving along those routes. And God, according to the Scripture in Genesis 13, 15, it says, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." So God tells Abraham that your seed will be as much as dust. Do you realize we're talking about a man who only had one son, according to election? Oh, hallelujah. But notice here, if we could, by the Scripture in Galatians 3. Working with something here. No, let's not go there. You hold on to that thought. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go now to Exodus 4, 22. Pick up the pace. Exodus 4:22, it says, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." So notice now, we're placing what? We're placing a people, a nation. And God just doesn't call Israel a nation. But now God, from Abraham on down, God is looking at Israel and He's saying, "Okay, let my people go. This is my heritage. These are my portion." But we see now God, He takes it a little bit further and He says, "Say to Pharaoh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." So now it's having a nation of people. And God is telling these people that they are the firstborn. Okay? They're not just part of the family, but the whole nation is the firstborn. Okay? I'm going to going to try to bridge this all together here. So notice now, if we could. So we see Israel was called the firstborn. Now, I want you to see a few things here. Numbers 3:12. It says here, "And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine. Because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord." Now notice, I'm turning a little corner here, and I'm doing this for a purpose. But notice, we see an elected people. We'll show you through the scripture how Israel is God's chosen people. Okay? It was a natural Abraham's seed. And that would follow into Isaac, Jacob. It would follow all the way down. But then when we're getting to Moses, God is taking a little bit further. Because remember, it was God trying to show that what? That the firstborn would always carry God's blessing. Okay? Now, notice why this starts getting a little bit funny. Because within this, we see it was God's desire that he would have a firstborn. Amen? Now notice, when God took Adam's firstborn away, Abel, God gave him another seed called Seth. And that would carry the lineage of Adam. Okay? And so now, we see it moving through, and you can follow the genealogy, it's a beautiful thing. But now, when you actually get into Jacob, you see that Jacob wasn't the firstborn, but you see two seeds that were fighting in the womb. Twins, Esau and Jacob. And they would come out of the womb. And what? Jacob had him by the heel. But when it come time for the birthright, God said that Esau despised his birthright. But you look at Jacob, and everything Jacob wanted was the birthright. And if you follow Esau's seed, they become the Edomites. They become worldly as all get out. So God anointed the natural seed that was supposed to be it to actually fight for the birthright. To show that what? That just because you're the firstborn doesn't mean that you're the firstborn. Now, why is that important? Let's look very quickly. According to Easton's dictionary, it says the word birthright denotes the special privileges and advantages belonging to the firstborn son among the Jews. He become the priest of the family. Okay? So the firstborn would naturally take on the priestly duties of the family. Okay? And remember, Reuben was rejected because he defiled. So God placed it back on another seed. Now, let's continue. So notice, the birthright, what does it mean? Simply, the firstborn. Okay? Now, let's see. It says, he become the priest of the family. Thus, Reuben was the firstborn of the patriarchs, and so the priesthood of the tribes belonged to him. That honor was, however, transferred by God from Reuben to Levi. So now we're watching the transfer of the birthright. Now, you don't miss what I laid before, because we're coming to that. But you have to see that everything depends on the desire for the birthright. So God transfers the birthright. Okay, let's continue now. It says the firstborn son had allotted to him also a double portion of the paternal inheritance. So the birthright, naturally, it what? It gives you a double portion and makes you the priest of the family. Once the one previous firstborn is done, they pass on. Okay, so now notice here, the scripture says, Easton says again, the firstborn inherited the judicial authority of his father as well, whatever it might be. Okay, so we have a judicial, priestly, and a double portion. Hallelujah. Now we're getting somewhere. If I could give you a hint, that's why Jesus said, He said, I go to the Father. He said, greater works shall you do because I go unto the Father. Do you realize that Jesus said that the church would do greater works than He did?
But we're talking about a transfer. Hope I'm not losing you. I got a lot to say and a little time to do it. So notice, if we could, let's look at this birthright a little bit more. We realize that according to the Scripture, that the birthright was actually a type of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because the birthright gained you favor with God. It made you accepted of God. Remember, Esau, because he rejected the birthright, rejected inheritance. So the inheritance was only given due to the birthright. And we just read by the Scripture, God said that Israel was God's firstborn. Meaning that the whole people were carriers of the firstborn right. They were God's people. They were God's judges. They had a double portion of God. They were the priests of God. They were the judges of God. They were God's bride. They were His firstborn. So now, let's continue. We see by the Scripture that it was God's design to do a move. And we see that the Scripture says that it was God's design to actually become the firstborn Himself. Now, notice in the Scripture in Romans 8:28. It says here, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn? Really? Read it again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. I'm reading this because it's important. To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The people of God who would accept Christ would take on the character of the firstborn. Now, notice. So it was God's design. Remember, Christ, He was the first fruits. Christ was the first begotten. Christ was what? He was the first coming along, the first fruits of the dead. He had to be first. It was God's desire. Now let's continue. Let's go in our Scripture. Romans 8:23. It says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So the first fruits of the Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Ghost given to the believer. Okay? Now Christ, remember, He was the first fruits, and now He puts the first fruits in you, which makes you a first fruits as well. So Christ, firstborn, makes you a firstborn. So we're actually watching a transfer of God's desire moving one people from being special, rejected, and then, watch,
moving it from a natural line to a spiritual line. And the spiritual line worked by the acceptance of Christ to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Hope this ain't too deep or I'm not losing anybody here. Now, notice here. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Galatians 3:13. Says Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Notice, we're watching a transfer now. We're watching Jesus, what, coming to His people. But when He come to His people, they were rejected. Or He was rejected, excuse me. And they were rejected too, because they didn't accept Him. So now the Scripture says that what? Everything was bridging on the acceptance of Jesus Christ. Because the fulfillment of all things, all shadows and types of the Old Testament, would be seen in the promise of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But notice, He become the curse so that He would become the blessing. Now look at this. It said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. What was the blessing of Abraham? We already read that. The blessing of Abraham was that his seed would be as the dust of the earth. There'd be that many. So here is Abraham in his mind saying, boy, my kids are going to have a lot of kids. But we see that God's statement to Abraham was not just focusing on a natural seed. But it is actually, what? Prophesying of a coming seed. Who would then bring forth a seed after Abraham's other characteristic, which was faith. Abraham waited 25 years to receive the promise of a son. I feel like Now notice here that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay? The promise of the Spirit. The promise of the spiritual identification of the seed line. It could be followed by the natural until the natural had become so corrupted that only Christ could be the only seed that was perfect. Remember, when God made this world, He said, let every seed bring forth of its kind. And you follow the seed of Abraham, and what? It ended up bringing forth Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and all these other people who what? Who John looked at them and said, they're children of the devil. But the seed was what? It was bringing forth of its kind in the minority. And the minority was the son of David. Jesus Christ coming forth. And what? Showing that a natural seed wouldn't work anymore. But it'd have to move on the faith line. Amen. And what? It would be God looking at His people and saying, it's as simple as this. He brought Jesus Christ. He said, here's your king, accept him.
And remember, they rejected him. Even according to Zechariah, he said, where did you get those wounds? He said, I got those wounds in the house of my friends. Smite the shepherd. They rejected Christ in His fullness. So God in turn, what? He what? Transferred the birthright from Israel to those who would receive Him. His Spirit. He was the firstborn. So all that would accept Him would take on the characteristic of the firstborn themselves. Because the firstborn was within them. That's why the Bible says we're priests and kings. Amen. Because you're taking on the characteristics of the firstborn. That's why signs and wonders follow the church. Because why? What Jesus Christ showed in perfect seed is what comes forth from the face seed of God. It what? It puts forth the nature of the perfect Christ. I know what I'm wanting to say. I don't know if it's coming out like that. And I hope you're getting it. Because this makes me want to do hoops when I think about it. Because God ordained all these things, placed the mystery there, denied a people on the fact that they rejected Him, but then anointed a people who were far off and brought them into inheritance. And the whole time, all these types and shadows were pointing right towards the Gentile. Now notice if we can just finish this off. He tells you what the seed was. In Galatians 3:15 he says, brethren, I speak after the manner of man, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereto. So notice, God made the covenant with Abraham. God made the covenant that He would bless his seed. But Abraham thought, okay, that's just my natural. But it wasn't just natural. It was what? Spiritual as well. Because not just would it portray flesh and blood, but it would portray the seed. It had to portray the seed. Do you think God was looking at just a natural blood the whole time? But God was working with a seed line and passing the seed line. But when it come, but when it come to the place that the seed line, the natural seed line rejected the fullness of what it was to be in Jesus Christ. Then God had another seed line. That's why He could have some Jews up in there. That's why Jesus Christ had 11 disciples. Amen. But one was a devil and that one was a Jew. So it wasn't the natural that God was after the whole time. He was after the spiritual seed that was hiding in the bosom of Abraham. That was coming forth from that line. But when it come forth for Jesus Christ, what? The seed was proven that it just wasn't natural. It was spiritual. I know I'm saying it again, but I want you to see that there's something about you. It's not your genealogy. It is the spiritual genealogy of you. Why has God chosen you as beloved? Because He sees the acceptance of the seed. The seed. All the prophecies pointed to Jesus Christ. He was the fulfillment of the true seed. God in flesh. The fullness of God here among man. I wish I could get it over just the way I want it. Galatians 3:15. Let's go to 16. It says, notice, so all these promises were made. If it's a covenant,
Nothing's going to, no man dissing off, no added to it. God would keep His word. Right. Amen. Amen. Man breaks covenant. God doesn't break covenant. Amen. Amen. Now notice, 16th verse. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the original God seed. Amen. He was the Logos that come out from God. Amen. It wasn't just some sort of a pillar of fire floating around. It was a seed. And when that seed put on flesh, his name was Jesus Christ. Romans 4:15. It says here, Romans 4:15, it says, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. Can we stop right there? Notice, so the seed doesn't follow the law or the natural man, but it's following the faith seed. That's why you don't have to worry about Esau being there. Because it was actually the faith seed operating in the natural line. Now, let's maybe say one more thing. Hope this is all right. I know it's fast. I know it's a lot, and there's a lot of changing directions. I did my best to get it out right where I wanted it. And I don't know if everybody's just looking at me with just the big question mark, if I can only see it. We'll go one more place. Now, notice, let's go to Genesis 48, verse 10. Here we have Jacob, or Israel, coming down to death. Now, Genesis 48, 10. It says, now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, Joseph and his children. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God has shewed me also thy seed. Okay? And it says here, and Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, toward Israel's left hand. So notice, he's facing Jacob or Israel. And he's got Ephraim in his right hand, so that it would actually be to Jacob's or Israel's left hand. Okay? Now, notice here. It says, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. Okay? So he's coming, he's approaching Israel with his two sons right here. He's got one in his right hand, one in his left, and to his father. They're actually on the other side. Okay? Now, remember, we have a father here and a son. We have a right hand and a left hand. Now, continuing. It says, and Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly. He knew what he was doing. He was being led to do this. Notice. It says, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So we see now that here the father is laying hands on Joseph. Remember, Joseph is a perfect type of Christ. So here, Joseph is bringing his children forth, one on one side, one on the other, and to his father, the one is on what? The right hand is the firstborn. But on the left hand is the younger. And so notice, when Joseph brings forth his seed, the father, when it's time to hand the birthright out, when Joseph brings his seed, instead of placing the birthright on the firstborn, he actually transfers the birthright from the firstborn to the youngerborn. And so now the father is handing out the birthright. And he lays it on the youngest and gives the youngest the birthright. And gives the older one nothing. Which is a type of what? When Jesus Christ come forth in the death of the cross, He transferred the birthright from Israel to the younger seed. So what? To the Father, when Joseph or Jesus Christ come forth, the form of the cross moved the birthright from what? Israel to the Gentile seed. And it formed the cross. Now, the funny thing is you look, and I believe this was Hitchcock's, but Hitchcock's names, we realize that Manasseh means to be forgotten. And Ephraim means to be fruitful. Because why? Remember, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Whosoever abideth in me beareth much fruit. So where was the blessing of the firstborn? When you had Christ, you had the fruit. So notice, when the transfer of the cross, it took the birthright from Israel through Joseph and place the birthright onto the Gentiles. I can tell how you're looking at me. Some of you ain't really following me. But by the grace of God, look at how powerful God is. God shows in His shadows and types. Remember, Joseph's children were what? Part Gentile and part Jew. Because remember, Joseph married a Gentile. Just like Israel, within the lineage of Christ, he would what? Birth forth within Gentiles. So Israel, the true seed of God, was not just a Jewish. They were Jew and Gentile. And so then when the birthright was transferred, it would what? Be transferred again to Jew and Gentile. But the move was on the Gentile instead of the Jew. The younger will be the fruitful. So, now remember, I know I got to close. I got to close. I'm looking. I'm not blind. I could preach a lot longer if I go like this. But you see, all these types are building up to this. Amen? Amen. When it comes time for David to bring forth the firstborn as far as the birthright upon his children, what? We see that God moved the kingdom to Solomon. Do you realize that Solomon was not David's firstborn? And who was alive? Adonijah was higher there. But God transferred what? The birthright from Adonijah to Solomon. And Solomon was what? Half Jew, half Gentile. His mother was Bathsheba. She was from Sheba. Amen. I know. I'm going to quit. I'm telling you, I'm going to quit. So notice, we see it was God's design. And that's why we see back in Isaiah 60 verse 2, it says, "Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee." What? Because what? He birthed forth the Holy Ghost in the upper room upon Jews and Jews only. But the rejection was on. So what? The Jews actually become the light to the Gentiles. Right? Remember? Peter? Remember? Paul, shaking the dust off his feet, he says, "Henceforth we go no more to the Jews, but from now on we go to the Gentiles." The birthright was transferred from one to the other. You have obtained the election. You are the election. You're the chosen seed. How can God call you a sinner if you're the seed of God? That's why He can't. If you're the seed of God, you've accepted the face seed of Jesus Christ. That's why the Scripture can say, "Blessed is the man who God will not impute iniquity upon." Do you realize you're a sinner because you want to be a sinner? I ain't just talking because you do bad things. Do you realize what justified means? Justified means you never did it in the first place. That's true justification. That's why the Bible can say, "He who is justified is glorified already." God knows you'll go through the rest of the stages because you've been justified, truly justified. Isaiah 60 verse 2, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." So the Gentile church would come to the brightness of their rising. That's where we're coming. The church has been coming there all along. But now we're talking what? We're talking about the full revelation of the seed of Jesus Christ. Manifesting in man. Remember, the whole creation groaneth. Even we ourselves grow for the manifestations of the sons of God. Do you realize manifestations means making known? You are to be made known. Yes, I'm Cam Smith. I'm being made known. You're not making known a flesh. You're making known a seed. The seed is making known Jesus Christ.
Because they've been united. Let's stand. Pray that was a blessing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But you see, you are the first fruits. You are. God has what? He's dictated a time when the last Gentile would come in. And then it goes back to the Jews. We're sitting right there right now. What do you think our goal is? To find the last seed. What do you think our goal is? To bring forth the manifestation of Jesus Christ. It's all about. From the Jew to the Gentile. I skipped a bunch of scriptures. Hope that's all right. I went through a bunch too. I pray that was simple enough to understand. So by God's grace, may we sing, remember, as far as how we look at this, we're accepted in the Beloved. God has already given us the inheritance when He put our names on the book. We're just coming to the revelation of what we are. What are you? You're supernatural. What are you? You're making known Jesus Christ. When people see you, they need to see Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is more than carrying a Bible. Jesus Christ is power. Jesus Christ is what? Is revelation. Jesus Christ is overcoming. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. It's your desire, say, God, Lord, it's. I just want more of you, Lord. You're a great God, Lord. Lord, we want to serve you, Lord. If you'd like to do that, just like say, Lord, Lord, when the last Gentile's called, Lord, I want to make sure my name's already been called, Lord. Lord, I want to show it by my faith, God, because that's what you're looking for this day. You're looking for that faith seed of Abraham, Lord. Willing to hold on to this promised word, Lord, until it manifests itself, Lord. God, I just pray tonight, oh God, as we bow our heads and pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, God. And Lord, as we stand here, oh God, Lord, just humbly, Lord, before you, Lord, realizing that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that you are the giver of all good things, Lord. That, Lord, we just want more of you, God. And Lord, I pray to, oh God, if I botched it up in any way, Lord, I pray, Lord, you just bring clarity to mind, God. And Lord, let us stand, oh God, in faith, oh God. On what you've done in this day, Lord. Lord, your election, oh God, could look over people hating a gospel, Lord. And Lord, call them beloved for your sakes, God. Lord, and we want to see, oh God, how beloved we are in your eyes, God. Lord, we want to see a greater move in our lives of you, God. We want to see a greater revelation and a greater strong point, Lord, in this gospel. I pray, oh God, that you'd bring it upon us, Lord. And God, every heart that desires you, Lord, I pray you give them more of yourself, Lord. And God, I just trust, God, that, Lord, what's needed to be said has been said, Lord, now. And we're just asking, God, you'd certainly, Lord, as we sing our few songs, Lord, and we go our separate ways, God, may that faith of God, Lord, just, oh God, just anchor on, Lord. And we take a greater grip on the word that you've given us, God. I just trust that you'll do it now, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We say, all God's children, amen. Let's sing that song, if we could, as we invite our song leader up. Lord, I believe in you. I always believe in you. Amen. You believe in God? Amen. You love God? Amen. And Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. And though I can't see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I'll find. And Lord, I believe in you. I'll always put my trust in you. And let this whole world, let it say what they may. No one can take this joy away.
But I believe, Lord, I believe in you. And Lord, I believe in you. I need no more of you. That's just the way it's going to be. Amen.
I need more of you. That's just the way it's got to be. Yeah. day, amen, that we've ever seen, that the whole world has ever seen.
There's death.